Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, the second day of May, and we are so happy that you're with us today. It is it's a nice start to the day, although if you look at the radar, there's a little bit of rain out there, depending on where you are. Hopefully it doesn't dampen your morning commute. I think most of it is probably not in the immediate vicinity of us right now. You might be, I doubt if you're anywhere listening where there's rain at the moment, but down south of Columbia, Jeff City, there's a big bunch of rain headed this way, and hopefully it'll dodge, just nick the area to the south, but you can expect a few showers over the course of the day. I'm sure it's going to randomly hit you. Hopefully not when my daughter's getting her prom pictures taken later. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
The outside?
Yeah.
I saw someone taking pictures the other day at a park. I guess I keep forgetting that school's already out for a lot of people. Like, obviously, you had Trump speaking at Alabama's he was the commencement speaker for yesterday, Alabama's graduation ceremony. And I'm like, gosh, it's May 1st. They're already graduating?
Things are so different these days. I hate to act like I walked to school a mile in the snow uphill kind of thing. But seriously, though, we just went through this. I don't embarrass my daughter, but we just went through this. Today, it's a thing that a guy must ask a girl in some very loud manner to go to prom.
What do you mean loud?
Well, like with a big sign or surprise them somehow.
That's new
from my day.
Okay.
From my day.
The last 20 years.
From my day, you got up your nerve and you asked the girl in the hallway at school and she either said yes or no. Or if you were dating the girl, it was just presumed you were going to go to prom together. Now, even if you're dating someone, there's still this expectation that you're going to do some big event. And then everybody has to go somewhere and get pictures. Hell, we got pictures at the front door when I picked her up, putting the corsage on, and that was about it.
I graduated from high school in a few years. It'll be 20 years since I graduated high school, which is kind of crazy.
It is, isn't it?
It does not feel like that. But we had that, too, where you were
really expecting,
maybe not the same extent for Ginger, but we had that where you did. I mean, people did some really elaborate things
to ask
a date out.
I remember when my older son and daughter were in high school. I mean, it was a thing. I'm not saying it's brand new, but it's kind of over the top. It really is kind of ridiculous how big of a deal it is these
days. Did you take your horse and buggy to prom? Or?
No, I took my 350 horsepower Pontiac Firebird to prom is what I did.
So that was the car. That was the cool car back then,
uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. Actually, somebody's going to ding me for that because I don't think that's the cubic inch of that engine, but sorry about that. It's been a few years. Maybe it was a 324. I can't remember, but anyway, I was sporting, had the feathered hair, And the Pontiac Firebird.
You should post a picture of this. It was gold. In your white suit.
Oh, it was gold. I've got that somewhere. I ran across it the other day. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you say limo's still a thing?
What's that?
Are limos still a thing for the kids to take, the students to take?
I haven't heard anything about that.
It's a lot of money for parents to have to shell out when
prom's
you think about it.
Prom's a lot of money. The tickets are like $70
It's not
or
even
that.
Like that. If you have a girl, dress, hair, makeup. You know, the ticket
spray
itself.
Spray tan, potentially.
But, well, maybe no, that. Saying. Shoes, jewelry, a limo.
It's crazy. Oh, man. And then years later, you'll look back and say, I barely remember that. Why do we waste so much effort on it? But you'll have lots of pictures to show of it, won't you? For sure. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to in other news here before the end of the hour. I've got this story I'm going to get to in the next segment about this kid that once wished death on Donald Trump. And boy, karma has kind of come back to bite him, so to speak, in the rear end. We're going to get to that story for you. J.J. Carafano on this whole Mike Waltz story, where the Mike Waltz, I called him Tim Waltz, Mike Waltz, who has stepped down from or been fired. Depends on how you look at it. The administration says he's being moved to be U.N. ambassador. But it may be tied to that signal controversy, which happened a month or two ago, and it appeared had blown over. Everybody wanted Pete Hegseth's head over all that, and that didn't happen. We're going to get to him on that. We got to the Capitol beat today with Congressman Eric Burleson at about 7:35. But right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
It was a great reminder to the American people of just how blessed we all are that the leader sitting in the Oval Office today is President Donald Trump and not President Kamala Harris.
Woo!
It was a helpful reminder of just what a travesty and a tragedy that would have been. It would have been the end of America.
He is not overstating that. Can you imagine if we just kept going down the same path of open borders that we had under Joe Biden? He's absolutely right.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Abednego Garcia?
I think you should
Wow. Elon, the members of the squad are a little, they're just a little defensive these days, right? How many of them are there now? Like, several of them have been fired by the voters. Cori Bush isn't there to help them anymore. AOC probably is not having conversations with them these days because she's running for president. They're feeling kind of isolated these days, I think.
Does the government have payphones? How prehistoric is this technology?
It's very prehistoric.
It's like Flintstones.
It's Flintstone level stuff.
You know what Elon Musk is talking there? Jesse Waters had a chance to talk to him yesterday. They're talking about the like retirement system is still done on paper and it's stored in caves somewhere. I mean, he's not joking. This is unbelievable. Listen to this.
They get $50 million a year, congressional money, to give grants. These are things like, alpaca farming in Peru, improving the marketability of peas in Guatemala.
Alpaca farming? Is that what I heard?
Alpaca farming in Peru. Part of what Doge uncovered, Jesse Waters had a bunch of the folks on there, including the guy famously known as Big Balls on his social media. And he looks like a 21-year-old kid, right? But clearly they're all very highly educated and capable, or Elon Musk wouldn't have hired them. And they were giving examples of these things that they found where he said the thing about it is it was just out of control. Like, the money would be allocated for $50 million for a grant for alpaca farming in Peru, but there was no guarantee that all of the money, like, their expenses would be half of it. Like, the agency would keep half of it and say it was operating expenses, and then they'd send the other half of it for this grant in Peru. Listen to it from the guy who found it.
They get $50 million.
Hold on. That would be the wrong one. Here we go.
I think the Inter-American Foundation, IAF, is one of the agencies we visited where, they get $50 million a year, congressional money, to give grants. These are things like, alpaca farming in Peru, improving
That's a real example.
Yes. That's the real description. Improving the marketability of peas in Guatemala.
Really?
Fruit jam. And yes.
What? Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
So you might expect, you know, in the private sector, a nonprofit to give, you know, 80 to 90% of their money to grantees. In the case of IAF, that was 58%. So the other half goes towards management, travel.
Yeah. What would you find exactly, I mean, to Ethan's example, is that even if you agreed with supporting alpaca farmers in Peru, well, actually, most of the money never made it out of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It's going into the pockets of people in the neighborhood.
Think about that. This is how they were enriching themselves. They were handing out $50 million grants. Less than 60% of it was actually being used for whatever the grant was for. The administrative costs were over 40%.
So who's
42-43% people were getting bonuses, and they were using it to pay employees and highly paid administrators.
So who specifically was profiting from this? Who would be keeping that money?
Well, the IAF is the name of the agency. I don't know who
was
running it.
So those employees, you're saying?
Yes.
So do they, for this alpaca farming in Peru, for example, Congress clearly didn't have to sign off on this. It's just once the funding is allocated for one of these sectors of the federal government, they more or less have the only say in where the money is allocated. Is that correct?
It clearly was not being audited for what they found here, because I don't think anybody would put up with that. There's an organization out there. I did a story on this at Channel 4 years ago. There's an organization out there called, I think it's called Charity Navigator, where before you donate to a charity, you can go and see what their overhead costs are. And they generally get dinged if it's anything over 10%. Like, it should be below a certain percentage. If not, your donation's not mostly going to starving children in Africa or whatever the organization is. It's going in the pockets of an administrator that's making $200 million a year, or however much money they're paying their administrator. Maybe it's not $200 million. Maybe it's $200,000. But anyway, those internal costs are something we've always paid attention to when it comes to charitable giving, but not government agencies. So that's part of what DOGE is finding here. So that's why I wanted to play that for you. It's pretty eye-opening, isn't it? You work hard for your money, you ship off your taxes every year, and that's how these unsavory characters in D.C. have been spending it.
Well, we're supporting alpacas.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I've been to an alpaca farm. I'm just saying. Cute little animals.
Well, the alpacas should be very thankful for you, Mark, and your tax dollars.
Particularly the ones in Peru, apparently. Yeah. All right. Quick break here. I'll tell you more about this. This guy who once wished for Donald Trump's assassination and how Carbon just came back to bite him. We'll be right back.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk.
President Trump stood up for the Constitution's promise of colorblind equality before the law, so he terminated radical DEI preferencing in federal contracting and directed federal agencies to relentlessly combat private sector discrimination. DEI seeks to divide and pit Americans against each other based on immutable characteristics. President Trump put an end to it. In President Trump's America, individual dignity, hard work, and excellence are the only things that will determine if you get ahead.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Caroline Levitt. I continue to be impressed with the work that young lady's doing in the White House. And yesterday she had Stephen Miller up there, just chewing up and spitting out the media. Just at every turn, when they ask him some stupid question, he chews them up and he spits them out. Like when they had the guts to ask him yesterday about Kamala Harris and her triumphant return, as the left called it, after her humiliating defeat back in November. I guess she's been hiding in a cave with cases of wine. That's all I can figure.
They really called it triumphant?
Oh, I'm paraphrasing, but they were all thrilled that she's back and she's encouraging people to fight. You have to fight. This is our time. Donald Trump doesn't own the White House. Again, paraphrasing, because I can't make my voice that annoying. Here you go.
Well, I think it was a great reminder to the American people of just how blessed we all are that the leader sitting in the Oval Office today is President Donald Trump, and not President Kamala Harris. It was a helpful reminder of just what a travesty and a tragedy that would have been. It would have been the end of America. And it sort of, it gives me a chance to bring this whole thing home. If we continued on this road of radical regulation, choking off American energy, sending our supply chains to foreign countries, taxing our economy to death, pushing this cancerous woke ideology on our children, ending merit, ending scientific innovation, ending public safety, allowing, you know, everyone goes to the stores these days, everything's locked up, criminals roam free, law-abiding citizens under the previous administration were punished while gangbangers were given red carpet treatment. Democrats, of course, are still giving gangbangers red carpet treatment. And then the border invasion. If those policies had continued, it would have been the end of the American Republic. And the only thing Americans want to hear from Kamala Harris is an apology for joining Joe Biden. Remember, she was the border czar. Joining Joe Biden in aiding and abetting the invasion of our country. And
I could listen to him all day. Stephen Miller.
It is interesting to think about where our country would be had she been president.
Oh, look how much better things are today after 3 months. 3 months.
How many more people would have come across the border illegally? How much more would inflation have ballooned?
So the media will still bend over backwards to try to defend Joe Biden's record. I don't know why. You know, at CNN, it's like they're a paid mouthpiece for him. Caitlin Collins got schooled yesterday by Doug Burgum, the Interior Secretary, who, of course, used to be a governor and ran for president, when she tried to claim, well, you know, Joe Biden didn't brag about it, but he had record outputs of oil when he was president. Listen to Burgum chew her up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, we did see oil production at an all-time high under President Biden. He didn't tout it that often, but Secretary Burgum...
Well, he did because of the permitting that happened under President Trump. I mean, the all-time record oil production under Biden was because of Trump. It was in spite of Biden. I was running a state that was a natural resources state, and we were fighting the federal government. The federal government wasn't even holding the legally required lease sales during the Biden administration. First president since Harry Truman was Biden that didn't hold those lease sales. So for them to take credit, that was all because...
Well, they didn't take credit because it wasn't very popular with their voters. Secretary Burgum...
Affordable electricity is popular with everyone, and America needs to make sure we don't lose... The thing, I mean, take a look what's happening in Europe right now with this 60 million people in a brownout blackout. We came very close to that happening in America because the Biden administration policy so dangerously eroded baseload in favor of having unreliable intermittent sources. And so we're just fortunate that we're not where Europe is right now, and we don't want to go there. Germany spent $500 billion to go chase a green path. And they ended up with electricity that cost three times as much, and they're producing 20% less.
Yep. Remember that? They were going to do away with all the nuclear power plants, and they didn't want any. They don't consider nuclear power clean energy. These people are criminally insane with their energy policies, or they were. And fortunately, we've got some common sense back running our energy sources in government these days, for sure. Coming up, we got to check in the markets to see what they're doing for you this morning. We'll check in with our friend Nicole Murray, and we'll have in other news for you at about a quarter till. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. So just remember, today's the day we will draw the winner. We'll announce the winner, I should say, of the Queen of Hearts drawing for Guns and Hoses. We do that every Friday morning at about 820. We love helping out our first responders as we help them collect money each week that goes towards guns and hoses and then ultimately backstoppers at the end of the year. This morning, we're going to be lucky enough to get Colonel Larry O'Toole, the executive director, in here along with Greg Brown, the retired Eureka chief, Steve Olschwanger, of course, Maryland Heights, former Maryland Heights fire chief. They're all going to join us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour, and we are looking forward to getting them in there. All right, let's get to Nicole Murray, please. Nicole, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
I'm glad to hear that. I thought I heard we had some technical problems, but I'm glad we got you this morning. How you doing?
I'm like one of those days where like I'm in weekend mode already. I'm not even here.
Yes.
So I'm ready. I'm ready.
I watched one of your Instagram videos the other day where you were outside with Gordon. You guys are having a good time with those, aren't you?
I'm having a good time with them. I kind of have to bully the boys a little bit, but they go in with smiling faces. I'm very grateful.
You know, we do stuff like that around here. Kim helps put together some of those. It's just good for people to kind of get a glimpse behind the scenes sometimes of what's going on.
Well, technically, now the guys with Gordon Deal, their show, they will wear costumes and they've put on like face masks and all sorts of stuff. Now, Mark, I've not done that to you yet.
So Nicole, like, what do you have on Gordon? Do you know, like, where there's a body buried or something? How are you coercing him to do this?
I bat my eyelashes.
Okay.
Or sometimes I'll pretend to be really like, really? No, but they are such good sports, and it's kind of good too. Like, they've actually become part of the brainstorming of like what different video concepts could be about. Like, Gordon actually was like, oh, we could do a video about this, and I'm just like, I am so proud of you right now.
Good for you. So, I've only met Gordon once a few years ago when I was in Washington, D.C. He was up there as well and had a chance to meet him, but just seems like a great guy. So
I'm very grateful. Awesome. They definitely did not have to embrace this millennial coming in, making all these changes. But, you know.
It's the future, right?
But I'm not
wearing any costumes, Kim. We'll see. I just have to tell you that.
How about face paint?
Do that.
Yeah, they've done that.
Yeah, they've done face paint.
Only if it would cover up the wrinkles. I'd be okay with that, I guess.
You know, when I come visit you guys one of these days, I don't want to hear any back talk about what we do for video content.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Yes. What you got going on this morning?
All right, so right now futures are moderately higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 83, the NASDAQ lost 264, the S&P 500 up 35. Longtime KSDK, that is Channel 5 journalist Kay Quinn, will be leaving the TV station in July. Quinn announced her impending departure on a post on X, saying she looks forward to the next chapter. Airport parking and shuttle service Superpark has lost its contract with St. Louis Lambert International Airport. That's according to a notice filed with the state. Transportation company SB Plus LLC, a Metropolis company, told the state that it will lay off 130 local workers effective July 1st because the shuttle service contract between the airport and the company will not be renewed. Coming later this morning is the April jobs report, which will give further clues on the state of the economy. Economists polled by Dow Jones anticipate payrolls grew by 133,000 last month. That is down sharply from the 228,000 added in March. They also expect the unemployment rate to hold steady at 4.2%. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. China said it is evaluating the possibility of starting trade negotiations with the U.S., while Beijing appears to signal its readiness to engage in talks with the Trump administration. Analysts caution that reaching a comprehensive deal will be a complex and time-consuming endeavor. SharkNinja is recalling more than 2 million pressure cookers sold in the U.S. and Canada after consumers reported over 100 burn injuries spanning from a hazard that can cause hot food to spew. Those in possession of the cookers are urged to contact SharkNinja for a free replacement lid. And finally, Nike has unveiled their newest release, Nike Air Force Ones Low Dirty Triple White Sneakers, which drop May 7th. And yes, it's just what it sounds like, white shoes that are already dirty. Based on the Instagram post, the pre-dirty shoes will become cleaner the more a person wears them.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
So does that mean my old dirty white New Balance shoes are back in fashion?
Yeah, I guess that means that you're chic and you're just like so in style.
I do not generally take, because I don't care, but I don't generally take clothing advice from my children. But a few years ago, my son told me, Dad, You've got to stop buying white tennis shoes. You've got to buy dark tennis shoes. So I have ever since. That's the only bit of advice I've taken from them. I still wear my cargo shorts and all that stuff when I want to.
But white tennis shoes are in. I feel like I've seen your son wearing white tennis shoes now,
but there was a time when he didn't like me wearing them, so I actually started buying dark tennis shoes.
Maybe it's because the dads tend to wear like the, is it the Keds? What is it, like the typical dad sneaker?
New Balance.
Is it New Balance?
Oh,
maybe it's an ugly white tennis shoe. Maybe you just need a more stylish shoe.
I'm gonna tell a story on myself. I probably shouldn't because I'll take a lot of grief for it. But when my dad was still alive, he's been gone a few years. Been gone 12 years now. I was at a shoe store and I was looking at their discount rack and I see these tennis shoes, right? And you know, the only thing that I noticed about them is that the price was really good. And I take a wide shoe, and I found my size, and I took them home, and I wore them the next day to a swim meet I was helping officiate. And my wife called me off of the swim deck and told me I had to take those shoes off. And I said, why? Well, they had Velcro straps to connect.
God.
She goes, those are old man shoes. You can't wear those. And I'm like, these aren't old man shoes. They were on sale.
Oh, so, that's why they were on sale. So, no one wanted them who was under the age of 80.
I took them off, and I went to my dad's house, and I'm like, hey, I just bought these shoes, but Michelle says that I shouldn't wear them. Would you like them? And he looked at me and he goes, those are old man shoes.
Or what my toddler wears. My two-year-old wears Velcro shoes.
It didn't even dawn on me.
Oh, my gosh,
they were,
Mark.
It was a good deal.
Oh, that's good sad. Deal.
You're right. Wow. I'm judging you.
The fact that you were looking at it just because it was a good deal is also kind of old manish of you.
Yes, very much so.
My grandma used to be, my mom's mom loved Goodwill. And we would tell her how much we spent on a pair of pants. And she's like, I could get those for $4 at Goodwill. She was borderline offended if we would tell her how much we spent on like chapstick or anything because she just thought of how much cheaper she could get it elsewhere.
That's me. That's me, though. Because I've got a nephew that works at an outlet store. Out there in Chesterfield Valley. I won't name which one.
Help your uncle.
But it's a shoe store. And the shoes are already reasonably priced, but I'll wait till he's working to get his discount to save myself another $5 or $6.
Mark, why don't you just cut coupons?
And I'm sure this will make your heart skip a beat. These dirty shoes, they're like $130
for just one pair. Oh, my gosh. What a joke. I wash my shoes to try to get them whiter.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to. I'm not the best at actually keeping up with
that. See, to me, that's like buying a pair of jeans that have holes cut in them on purpose. Like half of them are missing.
Mine have holes
right
now.
And you're still paying $100 for them.
No, there was those pea-stained jeans, too. Like there's just so many weird fashion trends out there that I just don't fully understand. I guess it's to get attention. Like social media's got to be a part of it.
Well, we're talking about it, aren't we? For sure.
Yes. There you go.
Hey, Nicole, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Yep. Thank you.
Cannot believe you wore Velcro shoes.
Only once.
Mark.
Only once.
They were on sale.
They were on sale. I got a great
Michelle,
deal on
good
these.
Job telling him to take their shoes off. If my husband ever came home with Velcro shoes.
I've never fessed up to that before, but that did happen.
And you waited
to
do it on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know. Honesty, what you see is what you get with me. I'm not the same guy, so. That's what I did. I'll admit to it. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News as if that wasn't bad enough. And Jim Carafano is going to join us in the next hour. We'll see what he thinks about this Mike Waltz departure from the Trump administration. We're back here in just a minute.
The Mark Cox Morning Show on the air and streaming at 971talk.com. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Well, if Luigi Mangione, the guy who accused of murdering the United Healthcare CEO in New York, needed more attention, now there's a musical about him that's going to debut in June. June 13th in San Francisco, this musical is going to be debuting. It will also feature Sean Diddy Combs and Sam Bankman-Fried as characters. The entire run, they're saying, is already sold out.
So I'm assuming it paints him in some sort of a altruistic light for what he did by killing a healthcare executive. Do we have any idea what the content of the play is? Painting him as a deranged criminal, I'm fine with it. But if you're trying to just get empathy for this idiot, come on.
You would think that, but then if Sean Diddy Combs' character is in there, I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, so no kidding.
I don't know.
Says he navigates friendship, justice, and the absurdity of viral fame, all with real-life cellmates by his side.
I was going to say.
Cellmates. That's yeah.
Well, that's why, because they've all been in the same prison.
Okay. All right. I start to see the storyline a little more. I still don't think it's necessary, but
yeah. Agreed.
Wow, you know, I was watching this coverage of this story about John Elway and his business partner who died, and you know, it's just tragic. But to me, what was more tragic is when I first saw the headlines, there was a suggestion that John Elway did something wrong here, and that's apparently not the case, and it's never been the case. They were driving a golf cart, and the guy, I don't know what the circumstances were. They hit a speed bump or whatever, and his buddy fell off the back, the Spurbeck guy, Jeff Spurbeck, who was his agent and good friend. Elway's apparently just devastated by all this.
Oh, I can imagine.
He fell at, I guess they were doing about 20 miles an hour on this golf cart going somewhere. You know, these golf cart communities, there are several over there near Cottleville now, not far from where I live. We don't live close enough to do that if we wanted to. But because there's just no easy path to get over there. But there are golf carts all over the place.
My
you have to watch out
them.
For them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go 15 or 20 miles an hour easily on a straightaway. So you could easily, I mean, I think people underestimate the danger there. But maybe this is an example of why you got to be so careful with those.
Yeah, I almost got hit by a golf cart yesterday at Ted Drew's.
No kidding. Somebody on the hill driving their car. They ought to walk. They're going to eat that many calories. They should walk to Ted Drew's and get ice cream.
St. Louis Hills.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Did you guys see what's going on here with the internet going back and forth over whether 100 men could fight a gorilla? Who would win?
Who asked me about that yesterday? You were out there.
We were all talking about it yesterday or day before.
So yeah, you know, Radio women. Jake asked me about that, and I'm like, oh, that's stupid. The gorilla would win.
Sue, you have a lot of thoughts on this, I feel like.
Women do not have discussions like this. Never have Kim and I or any female, and I said, do you think a group of us could take out a gorilla?
So true.
Or any other animal. It's just amazing to me that men discuss this like it's a thing.
But think about this. I mean, think back to prehistoric times when people would hunt mastodons and things like that. They had spears and all that. But what this scenario was, could 100 unarmed men overpower a full-size silverback gorilla? And the answer is no, for this reason. Because when the first two or three who were brave enough to go in first came back with broken skulls and arms and legs, the rest of them would run off.
If you had 100 men who truly were brave enough to fight and they were all going to be in on this, maybe they would stand a chance. Maybe.
No way.
These gorillas are 400 pounds. It says they're 5 to 10 times stronger than humans. So you'd have to have some of the guys like jumping on the gorilla's back. And I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't think.
I'd probably bet on the gorilla.
Is everybody saying gorilla here?
Gorilla.
Yes.
I'm the 100 men.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's because, like, if we're going off who's scared, like, you're saying the men will be scared.
Yes.
A gorilla would not engage with 100 humans. That's just...
But if it's in fight or flight mode, it might.
Same
but
with humans,
if it feels
though.
Threatened.
So the scenario is no weapons and everybody's in it to, like, kill... Like, the 100 men are in it to kill the gorilla. The gorilla's in it to kill 100 men. I'm saying 100 men.
Huh. Okay. All right.
Sue, I think vote 100 women. We could battle the gorilla.
I vote. I don't want to think about it.
Speaking of killing, we have time to get to this last story now. I love this. Sammy Hagar is opening his residency in Vegas this week. And the fact that I'm not there is one of the more depressing things in my life, because I would love to go to Vegas, number one, because I love Vegas. I should be more like Mark Reardon and just go out there every other weekend. I'd love to be there to see Sammy Hagar. He's continuing his Best of Both Worlds tour with Van Halen music, which you may or may not know is my favorite music in the world.
What?
And so Sammy's doing a lot of interviews to promote the fact that he's doing his residency in Vegas. And one of the ones he did this week, they asked him about the tour they did back in 2002 with David Lee Roth. So they did this Sam and Dave tour where Sammy would go sing the Sammy songs and Dave would go sing the Dave songs of Van Halen. And he said to the Rolling Stone, I wanted to break the guy's neck. at one point. So that's the headline. Sammy Hagar wanted to kill David Lee Roth during this tour. But when you read it, that's not really...
that's always how
it wasn't really threatening violence. Mm-hmm. But he said that the guy's just unpredictable. He wouldn't show up on time.
Of course.
And he was supposed to be the... Sometimes he was the first act, and I was coming out second. And when he wouldn't show up, we had to turn everything around, and I had to go out first. And he says it was a disaster, and I would never, ever consider anything like that again.
You know how much animosity there probably is with these bands that you just don't see between musicians?
I'm sure.
I mean, they work closely, and it's, you know, high stress. And
I want to know, what does a Mark Cox Vegas trip look like?
What happens there would stay there. Let's put it that way. That's fair. But it would be a lot of fun, Drew. I'll let you know if that ever happens.
Right. Hey, one other story I saw that was kind of cool. This is for the third year in a row. Silver Dollar City in Branson has taken the top spot as the best theme park in the nation. This is from USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards.
You know, I haven't been to every theme park in the nation, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Really?
It's a good one.
It's such an elevation over anything you would ever find at a Six Flags.
What about
in
Ohio?
Even
at
Kings Island. I've been to Kings Island, the one at Cedar Point, which is up north there. I've been to all of those, and the Brent, it's just a
What's
cut above.
What's better about it?
It's clean. It's well kept. The maintenance is kept up. The people are nice. It's just everything. People seem to want to be there, the workers, unlike some of these other theme parks I've been
to. They celebrate it by raising ticket prices.
You know.
Well, after they've just been named the top theme park in the nation, maybe they can raise ticket prices again.
This is true. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Congressman Eric Burleson on the Capitol beat at 7:35.